let's get into the Word and see what God wants to say to us tonight. Matthew chapter number 16 is where we are going to be looking. The last two Wednesdays, we have been talking about, first of all, we talked about opportunities. And we looked at that again, that the Lord will open opportunities. And we did that 2 weeks ago as we began to see a shift in the situation of our environment, the situation of the virus, the pandemic that's going on. There began to be opportunities opening up. And so we were right on target with that. And then last week, we talked about the word transitions, that with every opportunity, there's going to be transition. And so not only will opportunities rise, but transitions then will occur. And so we talked about that last week as we begin the transition process moving forward as to what it's going to look like on the other side of where we have been. So tonight, the third lesson in this series that we shared with you back in last summer, the summer of 2019, and that third message then is our third lesson tonight, and it is over the word acceleration. And I believe we are at a moment of acceleration. I believe we are about to come into a time that now a quick work is going to begin. I personally believe we're going to see some quick results now, that God is making a way as we begin to look forward to getting back in house for service and coming back together and being here with one another, getting our marching orders to go out into our world. I believe it's time to begin to ask God and watch for, look for, and prepare for acceleration. Because I believe now there is going to be a quickening of what is happening in the environment around us. And I believe that spiritually as well. So begin to pray for acceleration. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13. And we come to the time where Jesus is with his disciples and they're coming into Caesarea Philippi. Okay, and so Matthew 16 and 13 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Okay, so he's asking them the question. He's come to his disciples and he's saying, who is it that men are saying that I am? Now, they've been walking with him. They've seen the miracles. They've been a part of his ministry. And so now he's posing this question to his disciples. Verse 14, so they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? So Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to hear that. There's something in this that we're going to begin to look at in just a little bit. But Peter makes the proclamation. Who do men say that I am? And all these gave all of their answers. And Peter all of a sudden blurts out and says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now I want you to hear the words here of acceleration. So he said, okay, I say to you that you are Peter. The name change is significant, and he is saying, you are Peter, and that name will mean a rock, a rock. He's not the rock the church is built on, but he is a part of that rock. Jesus is the sure foundation of the church. But he said, and on this rock, the proclamation you made, the acknowledgement that I am the Christ, upon this rock, I will build my church. Hear that, I will build my church. Something is going now to begin to grow under that proclamation. Something is going to begin to accelerate. You're going to begin to see something beginning to happen quickly. I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's a very appropriate statement to make where they were. Caesarea Philippi was a place that there was a place there that they could have been overlooking that many would talk about. And I'm not going to get into all of that. That's a lesson for another time. I want to stay on track here. But it's significant that this statement is made that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it at Caesarea Philippi. There's significance there because there was the place known there that people would say this is the entryway into that other world. And so he said the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. That's always odd when Jesus says that. Don't tell anyone. And the reason being is he was not looking to be made king in that moment. He is looking to be Savior. He's prophetically speaking of a time to come. His duty in this moment was to share the truth with his followers and then to pay the price for sin. And so he tells them, now don't be telling everyone right now. And we know that they did. That's a statement that is a statement of he was not trying to become an earthly king. He is the eternal Savior. Okay, so let's look at this because I think that this is a powerful moment that we can be a part of. It's a moment of acceleration for kingdom growth. Peter has made an astounding statement given to him by the Spirit of God, not from his own flesh and blood. And out of that statement and out of the acknowledgement of who Christ is, the church is going to be built. And when the church begins to rise up, momentum is going to begin to build. And we saw this happen after Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected and ascended. The disciples and the followers of Christ, the 120, went into the upper room. The Holy Spirit fell upon them, and from that moment on, as they proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ, momentum began to build so quickly that in a short span of time, they were saying all around that region, those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. The church began to accelerate. The movement of God began to accelerate. And I believe that we are living in a moment that is a moment of acceleration. I feel this in my spirit. Something in our world, in the spirit realm, is accelerating. We are going to begin to see a move of God, I believe. I believe people's hearts are beginning to be awakened. Now, with every move of God, there is a also move of the enemy. There is a stirring of the enemy. And I believe we're going to see both of those. I believe this is what I believe anyway. I believe that as we begin to transition away from this isolated moment and back into togetherness, I believe there is going to be an opportunity of acceleration for kingdom growth. But I also believe we're going to have to be on guard because the enemy also is going to be accelerating his work. And he's going to try to bring every distraction. See, we have lived now for a little while with far fewer distractions. And let me tell you, as soon as things are beginning to lift and things are beginning to change, all of the distractions are going to begin to come back and try to vie for your attention. And so, church, if we want to accelerate in the kingdom, we must keep our eyes upon Christ. I believe the Lord wants that. I believe the Lord wants to bring acceleration into his kingdom and into the church and into our lives and into our families. This is no time. I was watching the governor earlier and he made the statement. I've heard the statement many times. Even though things are looking different, it is no time to take our foot off of the gas. And I want to tell you, this is not a time to take our foot spiritually off of the gas. As we begin to transition into what is going to seem a little more normal, as we begin to move back into areas that feel a little bit more normal, do not take your foot off the gas. Accelerate for the kingdom of God. push forward like never before. So I just want to encourage you to hang on and to be a part of what God is going to do. Make a decision now. Remember, your decisions now determine your next. So let's make decisions now to accelerate in every possible opportunity that God brings to us, to accelerate God's kingdom, to declare God's kingdom, to prepare our hearts for whatever God is going to do in our lives. I believe the kingdom of God is advancing, and we need to take this by force. That's what the word tells us. We need to be a part of what God is doing, and we need to press forward. Now, there's a statement in here that hit me that I really want to bring out and talk to you about for just a moment. I don't have a real lengthy lesson for you tonight. I've just got a couple things that I want to share, and then we're going to end in prayer tonight. But there's some statements that really jump out at me. And first of all, when Jesus says to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." But look what he says, "The Son of the living God." That statement grabbed my attention again. As I was going over my notes from last summer, this statement just stood out at me. Here's what I come to tell you. A living God doesn't have a dead son. He's the living God. He raised Christ from the dead, and he doesn't have dead sons and daughters. We are alive in Christ. Don't cower in fear. Live, because God is alive, because your God is on the throne. He is the living God, and Christ is his son, and we are joint heirs with Jesus. We are not defeated. We are not going down. We are not going to fall by the wayside. We are of those who are living for God. We live with a living God. I hope you believe that the God that you serve is alive and well, and he is involved in your life. He is intricately involved in your life, and he wants you to have life. I'm going to be talking to you Sunday about choosing life. I'm going to be talking in that message about that. Veronica and I took an opportunity that we had yesterday. We had a little bit of time, and we were just needing some time to just get away a little bit. So we took a day trip and just drove yesterday and went and did some fun things. And I was telling her, I said, "We're choosing life. That's what we're doing right now." And I told her, I said, "I'm choosing life with my wife." That's what was my goal yesterday. And we had a great time together, just a time together, even though maybe we could have done things differently if we'd have had more opportunity. But we thoroughly enjoyed that time because we wanted to live. We wanted to choose life. I want to encourage you right now. Choose life, because God is life. Your God is alive. Your Savior Jesus is alive. So you live. Choose to live in everything that God has for you. So when Peter makes that statement, "You are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You are the Savior of the world. You are the Son of the living God." There are many gods in his world, and there are many gods in our world, but there is only one living God. And those others are not really even gods. They are just claimed by men to be God. But we serve and live for and are a part of the family of the living God. And so catch that in your spirit and choose life, because he is life. Amen. And so I want you to grab hold of that. Now, the church is built upon that statement. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is built on that statement. That's where our foundation is. Who do you say that he is? He is the Christ. That's important. Who do men say that I am? That's what he is saying. They all knew and they all had heard, but all of these other names they were shouting out were wrong. People knew Jesus, but they didn't understand who he was. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they began to throw, "Well, some think you're John the Baptist come back to life. Some think you're Jeremiah. Some think you're this prophet. Some think you're Elijah. Others say you're this." And even though they all were talking about people that knew of Jesus, all of those people were wrong in their assumption of who he was. See, you can be well-meaning, you can think you have an understanding and be wrong about who Jesus is. But his church is built on the concept and on the acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. His church is built. Your faith has to be settled in that. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just another good man. He's not just a philosopher. He's not just someone that said some good things that we can kind of apply in our life. He must be, if you're going to live the way he wants you to live, and you're going to live in the acceleration moments that he gives, and your faith is going to be bedrocked in him, he must be, you must have the understanding, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is. And so all of these others were trying to understand who he was. They were trying to navigate what they were seeing and the miracles that they were experiencing. But all of them were wrong if they didn't catch the concept and they did not have the revelation of who Jesus is. Can I tell you, you and I, we know who he is, and we need to tell our world. We need to let the Spirit of God speak through us, and we need to let our world know he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah of all mankind. So you need to hear that, and you must be right about that. People had seen Jesus as lower than who he really was. They had tried to associate him with men. They had tried to bring him down to their level, a level they could understand. But we must be those that elevate Christ to his proper place. That in our minds, in our lives, in our words, he is elevated on the throne. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what you say about Jesus needs to be what you believe about Jesus. Amen. So many today are doing that. They are lowering Jesus to their level. They are lowering him down to something they can understand. Can I tell you, we are a part of something that we don't have full understanding of. And that's okay. I came to grips a long time ago with the fact that if I'm going to give my all for Jesus, there's going to be things about this journey I'm not going to understand. And that's all right. I know this. I know he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And this journey is wild sometimes. And it's an adventure sometimes. And there are things that happen that I don't understand. And there are hard things that go on. But our nature, this new nature in Christ, we are not to have everything figured out and be able to put everything in a neat, cute little box, make everything sound good, just be real goody-goody over here. And this is just how you do everything just right. No, for believers who follow Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, life is new every day. There are things, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And we have to yield by faith, submit to him, and just live the journey out by faith every day. And it starts with a confession of who he is that comes from a heart of belief. And so you need to grab hold of that. And as you do, you will begin to accelerate. Your life will begin to accelerate. Your spiritual life will begin to accelerate. So I want to look at a couple of things real quickly. First of all, there was a timely revelation of his identity. Peter makes a proclamation. At just the right moment, Peter declares who Jesus is. The Spirit of God is a spirit of timing. At just the right time, even when everybody else is confused, the Spirit can lead us to make a statement of clarification. Even when everything else is murky all around us, if we will trust in the Lord and we will let the Spirit of God lead us, we will have a revelation that is on time for the moment that we need it, and it'll be a revelation of who Christ is in this moment. Let me tell you, let me give you a Spirit-filled revelation in this moment of who Christ is. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is the one who has all of our answers. He is our wisdom. He is our guidance. That's who Jesus is. If you are fearful today, you're not realizing who he is. You need a timely revelation. In the moment of your fear, you need to see him as the conquering Savior. In the moment of your worry, you need to see him as the one who brings peace in every situation. Get a timely revelation by leaning into the Spirit in this moment. Peter proclaims, and it wasn't his own proclamation, it was the Spirit speaking through him. Let me say this, what you say about Christ will determine the acceleration of his life in you. What you declare about him will determine the acceleration of his life in you. If you will declare him as Christ, if you will declare him as Savior, if you will declare him as healer, declare him as deliverer, being led by the Spirit, believing in your heart what is coming out of your mouth, you will accelerate in his life. I believe it's time for some bold faith. I don't believe it's time for timid faith. I believe it's time for the church to step up and begin to boldly proclaim. We are believing God is about to do something in our world and in our culture. So we have a timely revelation. When no one else knows what to do, the Spirit will lead us in a revelation of Christ and give us an answer. Never be afraid to share what the Spirit has revealed into your heart. And it, out of the abundance of the heart, let your mouth speak. So quit speaking out all of your doubt, all of your fear, all of your worry, all of your negativity, and start speaking out of that revelation of who Christ is. What are you saying about who Christ is if all you are saying is always negative? Think about that. That's a pause for a dramatic effect there. Think about it. If all you're saying is constantly negative, if all you're ever putting out there is always, I've got to tell you, I'm so tired of all the negative everywhere. That's an affront to my spirit. Every time you see something, it's negative about this one or negative about that person, or this person thinks they could have done this better, or that person thinks, and it's draining to a spirit of a believer. It's time to begin to speak with a timely revelation of who Christ is. Christ is greater. He's greater than our problems, greater than our issues, greater than our political systems. And it's time for the church to be bold enough to declare it. It's time for us to start praying for and declaring acceleration, that this pandemic is going to have to submit to the acceleration of the spiritual kingdom. And instead of fretting over what's going to come back in the fall, we're going to believe what's going to happen in the fall is a continuing of the revival and the spiritual outpouring that's going to start right now and through the summer. So let's begin to speak. Let's begin to have a revelation of who Christ is and quit speaking out of our heart things that diminish who Christ really is. And then notice with me quickly, once you make that proclamation and spiritually you are able to share that timely revelation and something happens. Look what happened to Peter. The moment he spoke it, Jesus blessed him and changed him. Look at what the word says. It says, so he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, next words, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And look what he does. And I say to you also, you now are Peter. He just called him Simon, Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. But now he says, but now you are Peter, because this timely revelation has brought change into your life. I feel that. If I don't say anything else tonight, this is what I want to say. If you will press in and you'll live in this acceleration moment and you'll press for a revelation of Jesus like you've never had before, one that will build the kingdom of God, one that will build the church, one that will build your family, a revelation of Christ, if you'll press for that, you will not only be blessed, but you will be forever changed. The moment we put Christ on his throne where he belongs, the moment we acknowledge with a timely revelation in the midst of troubled times, when we acknowledge he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, something happens. Blessing comes into our life and change occurs. And notice where the change comes from. The change doesn't come from Peter. The change comes from Christ to Peter. See, you can try to change things on your own, but if you'll get a revelation of Christ in season, he will accelerate the change he's bringing to you. Peter is immediately changed. Christ calls him something new. Christ speaks over him a new blessing. Christ speaks over his life. He'll do the same thing for you when you acknowledge him. Acceleration occurs when we acknowledge who he really is in any situation. See, the acknowledging of who Christ is accelerates his blessing and his change in your moment. Amen. I hope you hear that. Whatever your moment is right now, I'm not just saying to say it because I told you to say it, but whatever's going on in your moment right now, whatever has you troubled, whatever has you struggling, whatever you're battling with right now, stop all of that and acknowledge. Speak out by the Spirit who Jesus is, who he is. Speak out that he's over that situation. If it's a sickness, you begin to declare he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's my healer. If it's worry, he's your faith. You begin to speak this out. If it's problems or something you're bound with, you begin to speak out, he is the Son of the living God and he is my deliverer. And when you begin to speak that revelation from your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, speaking it in faith, he will bless you and he will accelerate a change that he's bringing to your life. So if you want a quick change in a situation, acknowledge Christ properly with your heart, with your words, and with your life. Amen. So he changes us. Change occurs. That's a part of the acceleration. I'm expecting Christ to change me. When we get together again, I want to be a different person than I was before we left. I want to accelerate in his change by acknowledging who he is. We give you our life and our heart. And then watch what happens. Then when we acknowledge him, he changes us and blesses us, but then he makes us a part of his picture. He makes us a part of his structure. There's progress ahead of us now. Because he says to Peter, you are Peter. And then he says, and upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You're a part of this, Peter. With your acknowledgement, you're a part of this. Can I tell you, when we acknowledge Christ, we are a part of his picture. We are a part of the acceleration, a part of the growth. There is something happening in us and with us. And whatever Christ is doing, we are a part of. Because we've acknowledged him as Lord and Savior. We've acknowledged him as the Son of the living God. We've acknowledged him as greater than anything else. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when we acknowledge that, he blesses and change occurs, accelerates in us. And then we are made a part of his plan and his picture. He uses us for his glory and to accomplish something for him. And then he protects us. Watch, his victory is assured. Because he said to Peter, as long as you keep this focus, I will accelerate your change. I will accelerate the picture. The church is going to build. Something's going to begin to explode from this moment. And I will accelerate your victory. It's assured. The gates of hell, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against us. Victory accelerates. And all of this comes from our understanding and acknowledgement of who he is. I hope somebody's hearing this. I hope somebody is making a note of this so you can check yourself as you go through your days with who you're acknowledging Christ to be with your words and with your actions and with your life. And then the last thing I'm going to tell you is this. The kingdom is unlocked at an accelerated rate. Because look what Jesus says. He said, not only will the gates of hell not prevail against you, but then he goes on and he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The accelerated rate now of the kingdom unlocking in our life begins to grow. We've been given keys. He hands us the keys. How many know when you're first starting to drive, you could know how to drive, and there could be a vehicle sitting in your driveway that you knew you could drive, but until you received the keys, you couldn't get in it and go. But when you received the keys, you could get in it and you could take off, right? And you could accelerate. Once you got out of eyeshot of mom and dad, some of you may have accelerated a little more than you should have. But then you've got keys that you can put in and you can accelerate and you can now move into different directions. I want to tell you, the Lord is telling us, if you will acknowledge Christ, He's giving you the keys to the kingdom, and you can accelerate in the kingdom growth that's taking place. The kingdom can become unlocked for us, and we can live in His blessing. We can live in His fullness. We can live in the bearing the fruit that He said we would bear. We can live in the power of the Spirit and the gifts in operation. All of these things follow. All of this accelerated movement follows the understanding and acknowledgement and declaration of who Christ is. Now, Peter would go through some issues getting there. But when he made it all the way over to Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit of God filled them up, and fire, like tongues like a fire, rested upon each of them, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. When they stepped out onto the porch that day, it was Peter that declared that first message. It may have been a process to get him there, but something accelerated him in the moment he declared who Christ was. I just feel like for us as a church, River Life, and I just feel like for you as an individual, if you will declare and acknowledge, put your faith in, and begin to speak in faith who Christ is over every situation of your life, the acceleration of the kingdom will begin to be yours. Change will occur, and all that God wants to do will be seen. River Life, I believe that acceleration is coming of God's plan. What will we do? What will we say? Will we agree with God? When we're able to say we're coming back in and we're going to be here and we're going to celebrate and we're going to empower, see people empowered to go out and make a difference, will you begin to fall back into the old habits and say, well, I think I'll just sit here and maybe I'll just check out church online? Or will you come and be a part of what God is doing and acknowledge Christ is greater than anything in your life, and let His plans accelerate through you, and let River Life and your life go out and make a difference in our world at the rate of God's acceleration? Let's determine first to acknowledge Christ as the Son of the living God, greater than all of our struggles and battles, Savior of our life. And then let's determine that He's now free to change every area about us He desires. And we want to live in His blessings. And victory is assured, protection is ours. And now let's ask him to unlock the kingdom in our lives. That we would take the keys of faith, the keys of spirit empowerment, the keys of boldness, and we would go and make a difference in our world for Jesus' sake. Some of you, your family may depend upon your acceleration in the kingdom. So let's start tonight with our acknowledgement. We're going to pray. We're just going to spend a couple moments in prayer. We're going to pray over the needs that I shared with you. And just asking God to meet needs and touch lives. But most importantly now, we're going to pray that as opportunities come, transitions occur, that acceleration of the kingdom will become our focus. And God can use us to do great things. Does anybody want God to use them in a brand new way? Does anyone want him to do something new in their lives on the other side of this pandemic? See, if we come back and we celebrate for a couple weeks and then we just go right back to normal, then we've wasted this whole opportunity. But rather, if we start now acknowledging Christ, and we keep our foot down and we allow acceleration to occur in our lives, then we come out of this going on task, on target, and ready for the victory ahead. Pray with me now.